News Talk Saturday.
It is a very, very, I suppose, sobering morning, what's happening in the world and also in the Middle East region. We will, of course, have all those developments coming up in the next few minutes. The bombing of Iran, a joint Israeli-US action. It's called, official name is EPIC, Operation Epic Fury. It's quite a multi-dimensional conflict already. We have, obviously, those bomb attacks on Iran itself, but then there is also other retaliatory strikes which are harder to get a handle on, but seem to be in various regional cities as well. There's obviously a lot of missile defence happening, so there's a lot of sort of damage from that as well. So the whole thing is quite a murky picture. The fog of war is definitely in evidence this morning, but we will bring you everything we can as we move across the next hour. Now, we do have one of our journalists on the ground in Tel Aviv, Paul Kearns, who's an Irish journalist based there. He's been in and out of bomb shelters all this morning at various times, and he joins me now. Paul, are you there? Good morning to you.
Good morning. Good morning. Yeah, morning.
Just tell me what's been happening to you and your family as well this morning. What exactly has been going on the ground for the last few hours?
Well, around 8:10 this morning, we got an alert on our phone saying there's an extreme emergency, and within a minute or so, there was national bomb siren alerts went off across the country. That was just to warn everybody, I guess, on a Saturday morning that Israel and the United States had undertaken a preemptive attack on Iran, and that everybody should stay close to communal bomb shelters, or if you have a bomb shelter in your own home. And since then, the sirens have been going off on and off in the last few minutes, with the latest one, there's some explosions in the sky. So obviously, missiles have been directed at Tel Aviv and have been shot down.
Now, we know for many years the Israeli anti-missile defence is very strong. It's multi-layered. It's performed pretty well over recent years. But just give me an idea of just the fear that's happening for you and your family and so on the ground.
Well, as you can expect, or as you can anticipate, like, we thought war might happen in the last week or so, especially in the last 24 hours. There was a sense that something was happening. We've gone through this before last year. And you're right, the missile defense system is very effective. Up to 90% of all missiles are shot down. But the ones that do get through, and they do get through, the devastation can be, you know, almost a few city blocks wide. And the death toll of the last war was remarkably low, because most people have access to close access to communal shelters. So it's a stressful time, obviously, with two young kids. You have to decide whether you stay in the shelter themselves, which are packed with people, including dogs, or come out when the warning ceases and wait and whether to go back again.
Yeah, I mean, people listening in will be amazed, and even though they may not necessarily should be, but that individual Israelis have bomb shelters in their houses. How extensive is that?
Most apartments, nearly all apartments built in the last, say, 20, 30 years, would have what's called a war room, which is a reinforced room. And, you know, it effectively operates as a normal bedroom when there's no war. But if the building is struck, this room is supposed to protect from a direct hit. So they're stacked. Oh, there's the alarm going off now. Can you hear that?
Not really, but
the siren is going off.
I can now. Yeah, I can now. Yeah,
For homes with no bomb shelters, you have to go running to.
I can hear it definitely. Yeah,
shelter, which is maybe a minute away. Yeah.
Well, okay, so, but don't.
I guess that's what people are doing now.
Okay, well, if you have to go, I would suggest.
No, I'll hang on. I'll hang on.
As important as a radio interview is, it's not that important, right? I was going to ask you a little bit, and I don't want to add to your anxiety, but yes, certainly you're probably, you know, bedding down for a while. This isn't going to be over in a few days. So do you have any sense in your own mind that this is probably multiple weeks before you're kind of clear of this whole conflict? Is that what you sort of psychologically appreciate yourself?
I think Trump's speech was particularly worrying, whether it's a ploy that this might end, you know, in a few days. But he's calling for a regime change, whether he can walk that back. And, the Islamic regime in Iran, it will take those words seriously. This is an existential threat to Iran. So this is not like last year, I think. And the extensive reporting of the damage in Iran this morning across the entire country suggests this is the pullback from this is not going to be easy. already many states in the Gulf have been attacked by Iran.
I was asking a previous guest about war weariness in Israel after the conflict in Gaza. There's obviously been military engagement with Lebanon as well. I mean, is there any war weariness? A lot of you are in bomb shelters. There's sirens going off. I mean, to us Irish ears, it's pretty alarming to hear all of that. But just trying to get a sense of how people are living through this there and what's the public attitude?
Oh, there's explosions. People are people. They might have experienced this for three years on and off with Hamas rockets and Iranian rockets, but you don't get used to it, you know, especially when you have young children. I mean, I have a three-year-old, and the alarms went off this morning, and we haven't heard alarms for a while. And she was remarkably, I don't know, calm. She's familiar with this noise. And so is the nine-year-old. The nine-year-old is worried that school might be cancelled. And they're running to the bus shelters, and it was kind of shocking to see them this time being so calm.
Yeah.
Because they've experienced it, and they've grown up with it.
Well, listen,
but, you know,
listen, I've got to let you go because I'm kind of conscious of not sort of infringing upon your own safety at all, and keep safe. Obviously, best wishes to you and your family. That's Paul Cairns, who's an Irish journalist based in Tel Aviv. He brought it very vividly, viscerally alive there with the sound of the sirens in the background. Just to give you some update here more locally, the Department of Foreign Affairs of Tone News Talk, they will issue consular and travel advice later today. So I know a lot of our listeners are based in some of the cities that have been mentioned, and there'll be great concern among families back here who have people out in some of the places in the Gulf and so on. So watch out for that. They'll be issuing that advice later in the day. Obviously, it's a very fast-moving situation. The Irish Defence Forces, meanwhile, have said about the personnel on mission there in this area. This is UNIFIL. UNDOF as well. And we are continuing to monitor the situation across the region, and our personnel remain committed to completing their mandated tasks, they are telling us in a statement. Now, let me bring in my second guest who hooks in quite nicely to that last statement. That's Cathal Berry, who's a former Army Ranger and, of course, a former TD who has a long-term interest and insight into Irish defence issues and military conflict more generally. Cathal, good morning to you.
Good morning, Emmett.
Cathal, great. We'll get into various elements of this. We'll come back to the Irish leg of the story in a few minutes. But what's your overall reaction? I mean, this is obviously a very fast-moving attack. As quite recently, yesterday evening, Donald Trump was still talking about the talks proceeding. He said he wasn't happy with them, but it's sort of suddenly we wake up this morning and Israeli strikes are underway. Do you think that the main objective, which seems to be regime change, is likely to be achieved solely by an air attack, or do you think that's just not going to happen?
Well, the short answer to your question is no, for sure. So ever since 1991, the Americans have a history of intervening across the Middle East and North Africa. And every single one of their interventions have been complete failures and catastrophes, from Libya, Syria, Iraq, Afghanistan. So I have no reason to believe that this intervention will be any different. I should say that it's very well flagged and well-telegraphed attack. So, I mean, there's no surprise here. The Americans have been moving a lot of naval and air assets into the region, particularly over the last fortnight. So while there was nice, warm diplomatic words over the last 48, 72 hours, never believe what somebody says. Just look at what they're doing. That'll tell you exactly what they've planned. Obviously, the attack is on this weekend because the stock markets closed at 9 p.m. Irish time last night. It's always spun as though the attack at the weekend because it reduces civilian casualties. But the reality is, the White House has been very sensitive to the spikes in oil prices and the effects on capital markets as well. So they'll try and get most of the kinetic activity done this weekend if they can. But it's a completely different conflict than it was last year, which had very specific objectives, which was to target the Iranian nuclear program. And that was done in 12 days. But this is much more open-ended. And there is a risk of escalation and widening of the conflict. And we're seeing shades of that this morning already.
Yeah, now, Cathal, if you were in the Iranian military infrastructure and you were saying, right, where are the US vulnerabilities? Because there's no military force ever assembled in the world that doesn't have some vulnerability. Is it those air bases? Is it other parts of the region? Is it the oil shipments in the Strait of Hormuz? Where would you go if you were the Iranian regime and say, that's where the Israelis and the Americans are vulnerable?
So the Americans are the preeminent, dominant military force in the world by a country mile. Nobody even can compete with them. The biggest air force in the world is the US Air Force. The second biggest air force in the world is the US Navy. And that puts things in perspective. The big vulnerability from a US perspective is the dispersion of US bases. So they can't be strong everywhere. And you can see how the Iranian tactic and strategy this morning is to attack as many bases as possible, because Even the Americans can't protect every single one of their installations. The next shift will probably be towards the Iranian proxies. And they have three large proxies in the region. They all begin with H. So you have Hamas in Gaza, you have the Houthis in Yemen, and you have Hezbollah in South Lebanon. The big question, particularly from an Irish perspective, because we have about 350 troops in South Lebanon, is will Hezbollah join the fray? And I presume the Iranians will be putting pressure on them to do so. But there was some preemptive activity by the Israeli Defense Force over the last week to target some of Hezbollah rockets and their stockpiles and their network as well. So it's an open question whether this conflict will widen and whether Russia and China will get involved, which is highly unlikely. But there is a strong possibility that Iranian-backed proxies in the region will join the fray sometime over the next few days as well.
Yeah, we have reports here that Iran has certainly, they've made a claim to have attacked military bases in UAE, Bahrain, Kuwait, Qatar. Kuwait and Qatar have both condemned the attack, said they reserve the right to respond and defend themselves. They say it's a blatant violation of their sovereignty and territory. We've also hearing about loud explosions in Abu Dhabi. So this regionalization, this seems to be the way the Iranians are choosing to retaliate.
Correct, yeah. And you mentioned about where is the key vulnerability and the real choke point, that the Jesus knot really is the Straits of Hormuz. So about a third of seaborne oil travels through that strait every single day. It's a gap between Iran and UAE on the far side. It's very, very narrow. And already you see the US attacking the Iranian naval bases along that region. But if Iran were to deploy mines or to use some of their fast attack craft to attack some oil tankers, that would cause major issues from an oil insurance company point of view. And if that oil flow is stopped, there would be a major oil price spike across the world by Monday morning. Now, the counter to that is China is very dependent on that oil as well, and the Chinese may put pressure on the Iranians not to do so. So to answer your specific question, the Straits of Hormuz is the big pressure point from a US and from a Western point of view, and it's an area that Iranians may be focusing on the next 24 or 48 hours.
I suppose what none of us know is what level is the Iranian capability at this stage. I mean, they've been bombed for quite a while now, considering last year's attacks as well. So I suppose nobody really knows. Did they replenish things? Did they kind of sustain a big attack and didn't replenish? Like they were struggling to kind of... So we don't know how much power is in their punch in that sense, do we?
We have a fair indication, and it's a great question, because it's unusual for the West to launch a daylight attack against another country. Normally, they would launch an attack at night, and they would target their surface air missiles, they would target their airfields and their air forces. But the fact that the West attacked, or Israel and the US attacked in daylight, would indicate that the Iranian air defense system and umbrella is largely defeated at this stage, almost non-existent. Their air forces, almost non-existent as well. And the main reason that Israel and America attacked in daylight is they're concerned about Iranian retaliation. It's much easier to shoot down an Iranian missile or Iranian drone in daylight. So the concern was where the Iranian power lies is their projectiles, their missiles, their drones, and we've seen some indications of that this morning. They have thousands of missiles of various range and various large warheads. Our understanding is they don't have any weapons of mass destruction, so it'll be usually just conventional missiles, but some of them are hypersonic. And no matter how strong your air defenses are, they can be penetrated if they're saturated by a large number of projectiles. And we've seen that in Israel and across the Gulf states this morning as well.
Well, as I said, just to emphasise, Irish Defence Forces, you know, they seem to be safe at the moment. We'll get further updates on that as the programme evolves.
News Talk Saturday.